c'est moi le John. Le John de mes sabots. OK.
We keep it crunk. We keep it hype. We keep it all in step. Break, 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 break down it fam.
Turn it up. Turn it up, yo.
Up in lights, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know him. But fuck him, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, talk's picking it up. Let's go.
Who the hell is he anyway? He never really talks much, never concerned with status, but still leaving him starstruck. Humble through opportunities given, despite the fact that many misjudge him because he makes a living from writing raps. Put it together himself, got a picture connects. Never asking for someone's help or to get some respect. He's only focused on what he wrote. His will is beyond reach, and now it all unfolds. The skill of an artist.
This is 20% skill, 80% fear. Be 100% clear, cause Ryu was ill. Who would've thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? And I heard him wreck it with the Crystal Method, name of the game. Came back, dropped Megadeth, took him to church. I like Bleach, man. Ryu had the stupidest verse. This dude is the truth. Now everybody giving them guest spots. His stocks through the roof. I heard he fucking with that style.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
David Lee hanging out with you this afternoon is sitting in front of me. He is well known, well loved, well respected throughout the planet Earth. Mike Shinoda from the group Linkin Park. Fam, how you doing?
Chilling, man. Thanks for having me.
You know, you finally go and did it. You know, when we first got introduced to Linkin Park, you know, those of us who were knee-deep into hip-hop might hear Linkin Park song and say, those guys kind of have hip-hop flavor. You know, you could feel it. You know, obviously you there rapping and what have you. So it was like, all right, that's cool. But they're a rock band. Then you went and pushed the envelope and you got together with everybody from Motion Man out in the Bay Area to Jurassic 5, or at least Charlie Tuna and Cut Chemist. And y'all did, what was it, the Hybrid album, right?
Well, that was called Reanimation. It was a remix CD from Hybrid Theory.
Yeah, that's right. Reanimation. I always get it confused. So it was like, okay, maybe they're experimenting. Then you came out and then you did the whole thing with Jay-Z, you know, the whole Collision Course thing. And then you just said, to hell with it. Let me just come out and do a straight up hip hop album. You finally broke the mold. Well, what made you decide to just go all the way out?
Well, it's weird because I basically, this is what I was doing before Linkin Park started, you know, in a rudimentary form. I mean, I was basically just rapping and producing, and in fact, I've known the guys from Styles of Beyond since then. Their producer Scully tipped me off on my first sampler that I ever bought, and so at that point I started. You know, I learned. Let me take you back even further. I learned piano. I studied piano for about 10 years. Then I went to keyboards. Then I went to sampling, and from there, after I started making some hip hop tracks and just doing that, that's when Linkin Park started, and I started the band with another friend of mine and our guitarist Brad Delson. So what's funny is that basically all I was doing before that, like I had some experience with other forms of music, but I was only doing hip-hop until that point. And then, you know, 2 years ago from right now, Linkin Park has done its thing, and I was sitting there, you know, as a Collision Course thing started to kind of happen, and I was thinking, you know what, it's ridiculous for me to, like, there are so many ideas I have for hip-hop songs that I'm not able to, like, put into a Linkin Park song because they just don't fit. And we can talk more about what those exactly are, what I mean by that, but you know, there's just things that we do with Linkin Park that, you know, certain things just wouldn't sound right, and I wouldn't want to make a song with Linkin Park that would exclude the other guys. So in other words, I had to just do it on my own.
tune with the new shit. I'm doing it all night. I like what I do. I do what I like. I can quit and get it back like I'm riding a bike. Like, stop. Bring it back, bring it back. We got that balance keeping us on track that you get when you're moving quick with no slow. You stare like you don't care, but you do though. I know, you really must be so lonely. Puffed up like you're tough, but so phony. You and your boys, you don't know me. You really wanna hold me? Show me, homie. Let's get it over with for good. I got a friction addiction, I wish you would. Machine shop rocking when we step inside. And we got everybody so petrified. Now why is everybody so petrified? What? Petrified. What? Step aside and just drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Listen, you are not ready. Like children in a building, you can't stand steady. It must be the beat so heavy, causing panic attacks like a crack in the levee. Give you that Robert Plant dance, the days are back, feeling all on the track. And in fact, for those knowing the name, I'm back with some brand new crack. You can do it like that. You really must be so lonely. Puffed up like you're tough, but so phony. You and your boys, you don't know me. You really wanna hold me, show me, homie. Tough talk doesn't mean a thing. Get over yourself, you know when we're up in the scene. It's machine shop rocking when we step inside. And we got everybody so petrified. Now why is everybody so petrified? What? Petrified. What? Step aside and just drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Now why is everybody so petrified? What? Petrified. What? Step aside and just drop that. Come on. Get up. Why is everybody so petrified? What? Petrified. What? Step aside and just drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Now why is everybody so petrified? What? Petrified. What? Step aside and just drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Drop that. Come on. Like stop it. Bring it back. We got that balance keeping us on track. Like stop it. Bring it back. We got that balance keeping us on track. Like stop it. Bring it back. We got that balance keeping us on track. Like stop it. Bring it back. We got that balance keeping us on track. Like stop it. 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 Machine shop. 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 Shop.
Okay, we're back here hanging out with Mike Shinoda. That's right, Mike Shinoda, Linkin Park. And yes, and that was him. New single. That is definitely a banging cut. I can't wait to hear the rest of the album. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of this evolution. You know, you already explained that you had already been doing this hip-hop stuff before. And you said that you felt like you just really wanted to go out and just do things because it wasn't going to fit. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, what I mean by when I say, you know, I was making songs and having ideas that wouldn't fit with Linkin Park. You know, as of a couple years ago, I had these ideas for songs that I knew just with the format of how we put things together with Linkin Park. I have a song on the Fort Minor record called Kenji, which is about... Well, let me put it this way. During World War II, some people don't know this. A lot of people do, a lot of people don't. During World War II, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the U.S. government interned all the Japanese. That is to say that they took everybody who was Japanese from the West Coast, and I think it was Hawaii and West Coast, and stuck them in camps. And long story short, those camps lasted through the duration of the war, and my family was one of the families stuck in the camp. You know, it's a guarded fence, there's soldiers that you're not allowed to leave, you know, for years. And my dad was 4 years old, my aunt was 26 years old, and she had four kids. You know, they had 11 brothers and sisters, you know, a huge family stuck in a shack, and for what? They didn't do anything. This story, Kenji, is about my family's story in that way, and there's absolutely no way that I feel comfortable trying to ask five other guys in Linkin Park to represent that song when they don't, you know, they can understand it through what I tell them, but they don't live that, you know what I mean? There's also a song on the record called Cigarettes, which is it's kind of a long metaphor. It connects the idea of the current state of hip hop with the cigarette industry and how their tactics and their products are similar. It's actually, I should say one more thing, my executive producer on the record is Jay-Z, and Cigarettes is his favorite cut. So when I play people that, you know, that's more on the lyrical side of things. I definitely want people to hear that record.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we check out Ken G? And I didn't realize that your family had gone through the whole concentration or internment camp thing. Let's take a look at it. I might want to ask you a little bit more about that, and we'll be right back.
My father came from Japan in 1905. He was 15 when he immigrated from Japan. He worked until he was able to buy this, to actually build a store.
Let me tell you a story in the form of a dream. I don't know why I have to tell it, but I know what it means. Close your eyes, just picture the scene as I paint it for you. It was World War II when this man named Kenji woke up. Ken was not a soldier. He was just a man with a family who owned a store in L.A. That day, he crawled out of bed like he always did, bacon and eggs with wife and kids. He lived on the second floor of a little store he ran. He moved to L.A. from Japan. They called him immigrant. In Japanese, he'd say he was called Issei. That meant first generation in the United States, when everybody was afraid of the Germans, afraid of the Japs, but most of all, afraid of a homeland attack. And that morning, when Ken went out on the doormat, his world went black, 'cause right there, front page news, 3 weeks before 1942, Pearl Harbor's been bombed and the Japs are coming. Pictures of soldiers dying and running. Ken knew what it would lead to, just like he guessed. The president said the evil Japanese in our home country would be locked away. They gave Ken a couple of days to get his whole life packed in two bags. Just two bags, couldn't even pack his clothes. Some folks didn't even have a suitcase to pack anything in. So two trash bags is all they gave them. And when the kids asked Mom, where are we going? Nobody even knew what to say to them. Ken didn't want to lie. He said the U.S. is looking for spies. So we have to live in a place called Manzanar, where a lot of Japanese people are. Stop it, don't look at the gunmen. You don't want to get the soldiers wondering if you're gonna run or not. 'Cause if you run, then you might get shot. Other than that, try not to think about it. Try not to worry about it being so crowded. But someday we'll get out. Someday, someday.
As soon as war broke out, so the FBI came and they just come to the house and you have to come. All the Japanese have to go. They took Mr. Nee, and people couldn't understand why they had to take him, because he's just innocent laborer.
So now they're in a town with soldiers surrounding them. Every day, every night, look down at them. From watchtowers up on the wall, Ken couldn't really hate them at all. They were just doing the job, and he wasn't gonna make any problems. He had a little garden, vegetables and fruits that he gave to the troops in a basket his wife made. But in the back of his mind, he wanted his family's life saved. Prisoners of war in their own damn country, what for? Time passed in the prison town. He wondered if he'd live it down, if and when they were free. The only way out was joining the army. And supposedly, some men went out for the army, signed on, and ended up flying to Japan with a bomb. That 15 kiloton blast put an end to the war pretty fast. Two cities were blown to bits. The end of the war came quick, and Ken got out. Big hopes of a normal life with his kids and his wife. But then they got back to their home, and what they saw made him feel so alone. These people had trashed every room, smashed in the windows and bashed in the doors, written on the walls and the floor, "Japs not welcome anymore." And Kenji dropped both of his bags at his sides and just stood outside. He looked at his wife without words to say. She looked back at him, wiping tears away, and said, "Someday we'll be okay, someday." Now the names have been changed, but the story's true. My family was locked up back in 42. My family was there where it was dark and damp, and they called it an internment camp.
When we first got back from camp, it was pretty bad.
I remember my husband said, "Oh, we're going to stay till last." Then my husband died before they closed the camp.
Yeah.
Yeah! Breakdown FM. Breakdown FM.
Breakdown.
Your number one source for hip hop and politics. Breakdown FM.
Can't nobody else do what we do.
Man, I love this rap game mainly 'cause it's cool to add a little spice to the life you've been through. Everyone exaggerates a tiny little bit, make that shit sound more gangster than it really is. You can't appear weak, man, we wanna hear street. We wanna hear you spit your thug over this here beat. Don't take it as sarcastic, I can't get enough. I'm telling you,
You can call my bluff. If it's not rough, then I really don't need it. I'm not even ashamed. I got too much reality that's filling up my brain. Sell me on that product, I'm addicted to the game. Suck it up like a cigarette, light it up, man. It's just like a cigarette, it's something that I do. Once in a while, look between me and you. It's just like a cigarette, nobody's really cool. I don't want the truth, I wanna fake it, I'm cool. Let me tell you something that I realized tonight. My hip-hop radio's like Marlboro Light. They're both selling stories and they sound about the same. Cigarettes say the same, rappers claim they really bang. We don't care if it's true when we laid the money down. We don't believe the words, we just love the way they sound. They're acting like we're idiots, they're lying to our face. Maybe we are idiots, we buy it anyway. I'm running out to get the next rapper CD. Just sucking up the guns, drugs, and misogyny. The same way that I suck up all the stories when I breathe. That little bit of death supposedly cancer free. And everything they say's got the truth twisted up. And twisted up's what I want, man, I can't get enough. Cause even though we know it's all just a big bluff, we just light another up. What? We don't give a fuck. It's just like a
back here talking with Mike Shinoda. And you know one of the things, just listening to you talk and mentioning songs like Kenji and the other one, Cigarettes, which is Jay-Z's cut, it seems like these are songs with a message. You know, doesn't seem like you're talking about the booty shaking and it's not get on the dance floor thing. And not to be cliche, but that seems to be a vibe right now. You know, whether it's Kanye with some of his songs, Common, and it seems like more and more people are just going out and saying, I have something to say, I want people to hear it, and it seems like there's an audience for this. Are you in the same vein, or what do you think is going on?
To me, it's all entertainment. It's all like, it's going to see a movie. You know, sometimes you want to go see a comedy, you want to go see a gangster flick. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, what's out there, there's something for everybody. And every once in a while, you get yourself in a situation where you think, you know, there is something that I want that's not out there. There's a lot of bases are covered, but people start, you know, feeling, getting comfortable. And that's one thing that I definitely wanted to, I've for a while now, I've had an idea of, you know, this thing, this style of hip hop that I've been calling it more organic hip hop, because it is based more in live instruments and real songwriting. And I mean, like I said, there's no samples and stuff like that so much as it's just like real writing. And I've been waiting for somebody to make it, and they don't really, you know, people aren't really making it. I mean, there's a few artists out there who do it.
Would you think the Roots would be a part of that?
Yeah, like the Roots. I think as far as that type of thing goes, like Chaos and people like that do it, you know. I mean, even for as pop as they are, Black Eyed Peas, they do it. You know, they write the music. But on the more serious note, the mixing that style with the style of song topics that I'm getting into and things, and just the whole vibe of the record. You know, I want it to be a unique record. I want it to be an experience where people can go and they can say, that's an underground record, but it's presented in a way that is so catchy that hopefully, you know, the mainstream or the people who normally wouldn't get into the record can find it accessible.
Yeah. We about to take y'all to the tip, to the crib. Let's do it, Mike.
Back home. Everybody's searching for something, but all they can find's a whole lot of nothing. Back home. Yeah. Ain't nobody hoping and praying, cause they feel like nothing can save them. And they try to hold out, but they can't fight the fact that life goes black when those
out for your own, cause ain't a damn thing free back home.
Back home, back home. They holler disciple on Blackstone. Same block, they free base show we trapped on. Where our grandmother's march, the guns clap on. It's liquor stores, beauty supplies, and rap songs. I travel the world just to come back to it. The crib got a lot of soul, like black music, I'm attached to it. In many ways, the city raised me and gave me the drama, honor, and bravery. Sing hollow. When I go to Chicago, it's cheap wine and sorrow. Times is hard to swallow. In search of God's tomorrow, I borrow words from the Bible and use them for survival. Games rival. Signs painted on walls like hieroglyphics. I tell them that this is all tribe. We used to do dirt. Shorty's going through the same cycle. And trials like Michael try not to stay idle.
Back home. Back home. Everybody searching for something, but all they can find is a whole lot of nothing. Back home.
Back home.
Yeah. Ain't nobody hoping and praying, cause they feel like nothing can save them. And they try to hold out, but they can't fight the fact that life goes black when those lights go out. But I guess you gotta just watch out for your own, cause ain't a damn thing free. Back home.
Back home.
Back home. It's not Compton, but close. The same problems exist, and the pain throbbing in folks is so common it don't really bother as much. We just swallow it. Crack the bottle of smoke. Hope tomorrow something magical happens that'll put me back in the biz. But the chances of it actually happening's kinda slim. Back home, we get the good life and a glimpse in the form of a rap star, drug dealers, and pimps. I'm back home.
I try my best to keep it together. It's cold. Like the Windy City streets of December. I pace back and forth looking for the courage to shine, but can't tap the source. Need something to nourish my mind. I know we all is quite a bit in life, only to gain some light for the dark, windy roads we came from. But I move with the night, so I'm used to the shade and never lose sight, bringing truth back to the game.
Back home, we got a lot of shit on our minds. We're always behind on something cause there's not enough time. And we're non-stop, bottom line, doing what we gotta do to get some food in the fridge and stay out of the hospital. Back home, there's people calling us hopeless. People trying to tell us all we need is some focus. But focus, focus is overrated, cause you see every blemish and mistake and can't change it. Back home is Alvarado, K-Town and J-Town, a little Tokyo for those that don't know. Where figures shiver, living right in the litter, where kids write bigger, right inside the LA River on the concrete. A symbol of our everyday way, it's that color and concentration over heavy and gray. And by the time the ink dries on this page, I'll be half a day away from the place where I stay.
Back home.
Back home. Everybody searching for some, but all they can find is a whole lot of nothing.
Back home.
Back home. Ain't nobody hoping and praying, cause they feel like nothing can save them. And they try to hold out, but they can't fight the fact that life goes black when those lights go out. But I guess you gotta just watch out for your own, cause ain't a damn thing free. Back home.
Back home. We taking it back home, y'all. Common sense.
Yeah.
My guy Mike.
What up, Com?
SOB.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's how we rotate. It's good music. Hip hop.
Don't stop.
Yeah. It's home for me, baby.
Breakdown FM. Fresh. For the new millennium.
You suckers. 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 Suckers.
We got a chance to sit down with Kanye West. Just before the release of his album. And it's almost like I'm sitting here talking to Kanye again, you know, because, you know, he said pretty much the same thing. I wanted people to have an experience. I felt like people hadn't really just really gotten to more of the musicality of an album. And I was getting ready, you know, and I was just thinking just with your experience with Linkin Park and just the way that you guys as a band have brought music together. It seemed like it would just be a natural thing to truly integrate the experience and the sensibilities of being songwriters, people who create your own stuff, and the whole rock thing, you know, without it just being cliche, like here's a rock sample, we're going to do something, but to really integrate it.
Well, let me clarify a couple of things, because I think that when I don't want to forget anything, and I don't want to misspeak, so... first of all, I didn't mention Kanye a second ago, and I probably should have, because he and John Bryan did a real good job of they're good songwriters. He's a good songwriter. He uses a lot of samples, and for him that's exactly what he's inspired by. He loves that, and he does that well. So obviously a lot of respect to him. Secondarily, just because I'm into the writing my own stuff, and I tend to not like to lean on samples or whatever. That, you know, like I said about Kanye, I don't have any problem with that. You know, some people, I actually, a lot of the music I listen to is heavily sample driven. And with Linkin Park, what we tend to do is make our own samples. Like me and Mr. Han, we've put together a record vinyl of original samples, and he'll scratch those, and we'll take them and put them in the MPC and all that. So we write the sample, and then we put it on a record, and then we sample it off the record, just so it has that quality, you know?
See, kids, that's how you save money. No clearance, no clearance.
I mean, it costs you a couple hundred bucks on the record. I mean, you save a lot when you get down to it, but... And then just with the Fort Minor record, and one of the things is people that keep asking me, you know, I don't think we clarified this either, that the name of the project is Fort Minor. Like, it's not going to have my name on it. It's going to be called Fort Minor, and the name of the album is The Rising Tide, T-I-E-D. It's a play on words because it's a tide group of people who I felt are coming up together, me and my friends and the people.
So what is the exact title then? Is Rising Tide? Okay, let's clarify that. Okay, because, you know, up to now, I've been getting all this stuff, Fort Minor. See, that's why we do the interviews. We go straight to the source, so let's get it all straight.
I get it. We're going to straighten everybody out. The name of the project, the name of the group, is Fort Minor. Now, just because I'm leading the group doesn't mean that I have to put my name on it. A lot of people, it's not necessarily a hip-hop thing, but, you know, there's a culture thing where, you know, if you're proud of your work, you want to put your name on it, you put your stamp on it. In my, kind of where I'm coming from, Linkin Park, we've had so much success, I don't need to water down this project with any ego, you know what I mean? So I wanted to give it a name that's not my name so that people can separate me from it and look at this project and say, this is a CD by the group Fort Minor. Not Linkin Park, not Mike Shinoda, but it's called Fort Minor is the name of the group. And then the name of the album is The Rising Tide. And like I said, it's T-I-E-D because this group, you know, including, well, I've got different people on the songs. I've got Commons on a song, Black Thought from The Roots, John Legend, Styles of Beyond, and some other people that are not as closely associated with the hip-hop community, people like Jonah Matranga, who's he's in a band called Far and a band called Gratitude, and a really great singer named Holly Brooke. And these people are all people who, in one way or another, have been coming up or are about to come up in the music world and really make their own statement. I think they're really strong artists, and I think they're rising together. So The Rising Tide is the name of the record.
Green Lantern. You know, I'm a fan, man. I'm a real fan.
Be somebody.
Feel real honored to be up in here, you know what I'm saying?
Be someone.
They had to bring out the expensive mics for this one.
Be somebody.
You know what I'm saying? The $7,000 headphones for this one here. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Talk to me.
This is the story of them against us. Win or lose, forcing your feet into someone else's shoes. Everybody's got something to say, that we ought to live their way. What we're doing's not okay. In this world, everybody's got a chip on both sides of the neck. Got no respect, wait up a sec. You ever feel like the pressure's too much to take? Too much weight? Ladies and gentlemen, if anybody can hear me right now, please shout back. We're not the only ones feeling so trapped in the dream of somebody else. In fact, they got their heads full of some overblown scheme. Opportunity they missed back when they were 16. And all they wanna do is push you to be that. And all you wanna do is scream back.
Gonna be somebody.
For anybody telling me I can't, yeah.
Gonna be someone.
For anyone who told me I had no chance.
We sleep to build stamina, energy to do our thing. Get your camera, cause this ride is about to begin. Sit down and buckle it in. Let me say it again. In this world, everybody's got a chip on both sides of the neck. Got no respect, wait up a sec. When I was young, they said the odds of making it were slim to none. Ladies and fuck it, I'm tired of them saying the dream you have doesn't exist. Telling you you're worthless, saying you should quit. Basically telling you that you'll never be this. Really, they're pissed cause they'll never achieve some opportunity. opportunity they missed back when they were 16. And all they wanna do is push you to be that, and all you wanna do is scream back.
They gon' think you're crazy, mumbling to yourself in the basement all day, into yourself. My pops didn't dig it, was shoveling to myself. My boys used to get it, they dug it because they felt. My undertaking took me, I was making it myself. A wealth of rhymes of crazy, I would chuckle to myself. Then they went into the mental Rolodex. See, I knew them by heart like a brain in my chest. And I took them to school where subjects was getting felt. Books under my seat, notebook laying on my desk. My teacher's like, Mr. Jaco, yes, with all that knowledge, you ain't trying to go to college, be a lawyer or a doctor, get a whole lot of dollars. Rather degrade women and glorify violence. Where the work that works for me might not work for you. No homework, I got work to do.
For anybody telling me I can't, yeah.
You know, it's interesting when you do that, and I've seen several people try to do that in the past. You know, their big name, and they just drop the name down, you know, their name down, and then it just put the group. You know, most recently, what comes to mind is somebody like Chuck D, when him and one of his band members got together, and they tried to just do that. I'm going to remember the name of the group for a second. But it's hard to do that because of who you are, and I very rarely have seen a group be able to just do that. I mean, it's like Mike Shinoda, Linkin Park. So is there, first of all, do you think you'll be able to buck that trend? Sincerely buck it and have people see it as Fort Minor, which you just being a member versus, you know, the natural things like Where's Mike?
Right, right. Now, I'm already coming to grips with the fact that, you know, people tend to want to see my name or want to talk to me about the project, which is completely natural because obviously it's my project. But I just wanted to be known that the reason that the name is that my name is not on the front of the record is simply because I want people to focus on the music. Don't focus on me. Don't go in there looking for pictures because I did the art. I intentionally scratched out my face on like half of them. I picked all the pictures that didn't show my face because to me, it is not about me. And it's about, it. What it is about is about the production, about the lyrics, the music, and the album itself. And that's it.
And so now you're really bucking the trend because here we are in a day and time where so many people, and we were talking off record, have been spoon-fed. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if it doesn't show up on the local video channels and radio station, if it doesn't have this whole massive campaign, it's really hard to break that. But it seems like, a lot of artists are trying to get into that, you know, get into that whole thing where we respect the music. And, you know, aside from taking those types of steps, to downplay the ego, as you said, what else do you think you may have to do to really help move that audience along so that they do that? Or is there a sizable audience out there that is already there and you're just going to really play to them and just build up along those lines?
That's a really good question. It's hard to answer, you know, because basically you've got, you know, people from different cultures. People listen to different types of music. You're used to experiencing music in certain ways based on, you know, your personality, what you and your friends listen to. I'd say that for me, with what I've experienced so far with the Fort Minor project, is there's almost no consistency of the type of fan that shows up to promote the music or comes to the show or gets on the website. I mean, if you go to fortminor.com, go to MySpace, our MySpace page, which is myspace.com/FortMinor. If you go to either one of those and you look on the message board, you will see, especially on MySpace, because you see pictures all the way down, there's every type of person. It, you know, young and old, you've got male, female, every color. Some don't speak English, you know. And, I mean, I even made a joke on the MySpace page to the kids I saw, like a bunch of, like, obviously goth rock kids, you know, who were supporting the group, and they're sitting there, they're dressed the way they dress, they have spiked collars and pale skin and dark hair and dark clothes, And I made a joke with them. I said, you know, do you guys realize it's a hip hop album? You know, I don't want you to get misled. You know, this, you know what you're getting into here. And I even made a joke about there's an older group, actually one of the main staples of the gothic community, a group called Bauhaus. And I made a joke that, like, we're going to have to get them some Bauhaus bling. Right? And they loved it. Like, they thought it was the funniest thing. And they're, like, so excited that I actually knew the group and all this stuff. But the point is, like, yeah, you know, in our little community, we do listen to all different types of music. We don't give a shit about color. We don't care about where people are from or whatever. What we care about is the music and if it speaks to us in a certain way. And to me, even if you're Ice-T and you talk about these specific things from your hood, from where you're from, and it's portrayed in a way that's, you know, you portray this gangster and you do talk about these like pimpish things or these murderous things. To me, if I'm drawn to that, if I like to watch that movie, I'll pay for the ticket and go watch that movie. You know, I don't need to be that guy to listen to that music. I could listen to whatever I'm drawn to.
One and all of the show, we're wired up, fired up, and ready to go. In the back of the parking lot outside of the bar, 20 deep, 20 feet from the boulevard. Black hoodies, black caps, black labeling glasses, previewing the new shit before all the masses. Cause the first thing I need when I got a new beat is to see how it sounds echoing up the street. I just take it for a spin, pop the CD in, slide it up to 10 and get that rear view shaking, then play it again so there's no mistake. In San Andreas, the block, get this bitch earthquaking like, oh,
ready for it, here we go. We got the whole block rocking in stereo. We're taking control, letting everybody know. In every minute, let me hear everybody go, oh.
You're not ready, I got plenty cuts for 20 months, drop steadily. Plenty tracks to empty on your whack pedigree. I'm back heavily while you're backpedaling. Forget the chit chat, homie, kick back. I'm on that shit that could get your homie bitch slapped. So zip your lip back, listen and watch. We got the whole block rocking off the way to beat knocks. You don't have to warn the people on the corner. They know that if you're standing on that corner, then you're getting that show. World premiering, you're hearing that machine shop flow. San Andreas, the block, get this bitch earthquaking like, oh.
Ready for it, here we go. We got the whole block rocking in stereo. We're taking control, letting everybody know. In every building, let me hear everybody go. Oh, ready for it, here we go. We got the whole block rocking in stereo. We're taking control, letting everybody know.
We're talking with Mike Shinoda, if you're just tuning in. You know, when you were just talking, one of the things that immediately came to mind was this blurring of the lines, or this erasing of the lines, I should say, with Goth Guide Likes the Hip Hop album. You know, using Kanye as an example, he's like a big Pogue fan, you know. It's like, really? You know, there was somebody else when we was at his listening party that was sitting in the back of the room, you know, gold teeth and tattoos and looked like, you know, he was just, you know, straight from the gutter, so to speak. And he was like asking about all kind of, you know, really esoteric rock records. And, you know, people were like, what you know about that? But the point that I'm getting at is that the whole ordeal over the past year of seeing that seems to remind me of once upon a time where hip hop was going, before we had collision courses and mashups. But going back to the early 80s when punk and new wave and hip hop seemed to mix with one another, where Thomas Dolby knew a Bambaataa would record with a Johnny Linden, aka Johnny Rotten, and, you know, Cold Crush Brothers would do punk rock rap, and, you know, Blondie was doing stuff with Flash, and you had all that. And then suddenly it seems like the music business just came in, put its fingers in there and said, oh, this will be this, and started categorizing. And we haven't had that until it seems like it's starting to come back now. But two questions for you. One, about that particular trend, how are you seeing it? Are you seeing it the same way? And two, one of the hotbeds for where this integration was happening was Los Angeles, where we're at now. And I don't know if you're old enough or if you remember that history when punk and new wave was jumping off down here and ska was pretty big, and there seemed to be that mixing of the lines. I remember you could listen to a station like K-Day and you would hear all this new wave stuff, the Thompson Twins, followed by Blinded by Science, Into Egyptian Lover, you know what I'm saying, which was just done so naturally because that's what people seem to like. And then it just disappeared for a good 10-15 years. Now it seems to be coming back again.
But yeah, it's a weird thing because at this point, I think that the rock community, they had a term called nu metal, and they categorized Linkin Park as nu metal. And I don't approve of that. I think it's stupid because again, you're talking about the categorization, you know. What the industry does, and there is absolutely no fault for it. I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not upset about it. What happens is you've got to sell a product, and you've got to put a label on it. You know, it's proven that if you can sum it up in fewer words, make it flashier, you'll sell more because people will be able to grasp it in a simpler way to where they can look across the shelf and see a couple of words that describes it and go, oh yeah, I'd buy that. It's, you know, that those couple words make sense to me. It's simplifying. So what they like to do is categorize you and stick you in these one or two word categories, which doesn't work for some groups. You know, it's hard for Linkin Park to get categorized because we are not, yeah, we're a rock band, but I mean, you can hear the new wave influence. You can hear the 80s electro influence. You can hear the what used to be, you know, drum and bass and grime and all that stuff and the hip hop and the rock, all different types of rock.
Doesn't that kind of shortchange you guys as well? Because when you sit up there and you go, new metal, then it might be a bunch of kids from, you know, predominantly black hood that's going, I ain't really checking for them because that's, you know, they're going to have the association. And as you said, you were kind of surprised that the goth kids, you know, you felt like you needed to explain. You know, this is a hip-hop album.
I didn't need to explain it. I was making a joke with them because I wanted to point out to them as a use them as an example, I mean, for all of our sake, because it is funny that, you know, Our fans tend to be mixed. There's all types of different fans, and I mean, you know, I don't know if you talk to like people like Green Lantern or any of those guys, but Green, we're doing a mixtape right now, and Green was, you know, he's going around talking to people like, you want to get on this record, this mixtape, and he said, can I curse? And he's Green came back to me, he called me the first day after, and he says, yo, Mike, everybody fucks with you. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, I'm like, who did you talk to? He's like, I talked to everybody. And he's like, if I ask anybody to be on this mixtape, they'll be on it. And I don't want a mixtape full of, you know, all these different people, but he was speaking to a lot of people, and we were pleasantly surprised that in the hip hop, you know, in the hip hop community, I mean, really in the streets where he's the people he's talking to, they're feeling it. And to me, that's a kind of like that feels really good, because that's where that's the music these guys are making, the music that I was growing up on, and they are relative to that, you know what I mean?
And I think you underscore that point of seeing that merging again, you know. And I remember it so clearly in the early 80s, you know, on both coasts. I'm not sure how it was in the middle of the country, but having been in New York and then on the West, I remember that. And I'm just thinking of all the groups where you can see that. M.O.P., you know, are they hip-hop? Are they some sort of new rock group?
You know, tell you something. I mean, even when we were sitting in the studio making the Fort Minor record, I had friends just stopping by, and people that new and old friends, let me say, just stopping by to listen and say hi and see what they think. And, I mean, in a span of a week, I think I had Kenna, I had Chad from the Neptunes, and I had Dan the Automator come in. And just to have both Chad and Dan say that they were feeling a record, I'm thinking, like, these guys, they're both excellent musicians. They are some of the best at what they do, and they are on complete opposite sides of the spectrum. Like, I can't even imagine them making music together. However, if they did, it would probably be the best record of all time.
For people who don't know, Dan, of course, being a Bay Area native, schoolboy Hanselman model, you know, so he's on a whole nother page. He's not doing Neptune beat.
I was joking around with Dan that we're going to have to start that, because I'm half Japanese, so we're going to have to start the Japanese Public Enemy. And he said, I'll be the Chuck. He'll make the beats. He'll be Bomb Squad. And then I'll be Chuck D. And now we need to find a Flav, somebody who's the crazy Japanese guy out there. So we haven't found him yet. But you know, Dan's nuts like that. Like he's dead serious when he says that too. He will actually do that record.
That would be funny to see that. That's real spit talking with Mike Shimoda. Hey, by the way, with Jay-Z and the Collision Course thing, you know, two questions I always ask, you know, and I mean, Jay-Z swears up and down, but I find it hard to believe. The man just walks in, records, no paper, just records his thing. And also, is he on this album? And did you pick up any game from him as well?
I'll tell you, I'll answer your first question first. And I'll tell you like this. We had a session where we looped, the single was going to be Numb mashed up with Encore. Our song Numb and Jay's song Encore. And I had the beat all done and he was going to put down his verses, relay the verses on it. And he said he loved the beat. He just loved that. And whenever, I think the key for Jay is whenever you get a beat that Jay's really feeling, he will get up and he'll get up on the mic and do whatever he wants to do. He's talented. He's, you know, God-given talent, this guy. It's just unbelievable. Because I swear he said, you know, let's just turn off all the cameras and turn off all the recording equipment and just, you know, let me just spit. So we did that. And I'm telling you, let me tell you, you know that the summer, the rhyme that he did on Hot 97? Okay. That same topic, that same idea. But the reason I know Jay goes, just kind of comes off the top with it. I think what it is, he just kind of like links these ideas that he's got in his head and little things he's put together or whatever in his mind. He just puts them all together. It's like a puzzle. Just, and it's fun for him. It's easy. So for 5 minutes straight, nonstop, just rapping. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, 5 minutes straight. Nobody sits down and writes a 5-minute rhyme that works over a beat they've only just heard. I know this. It'd be impossible to do and remember the whole thing just to show it off. Like, the guy just walked in and did it for 5 minutes. So trust me when I tell you.
Okay, you know, Memphis and everybody always say that he did, but I'm thinking that's the group. But you know, with
all kinds of stories about, yo, he writes down in his BlackBerry and blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, I saw it with my own eyes. The man came in and rapped for 5 minutes with nonstop. It wasn't like he stopped and thought of it on another verse and it had a different, you know, like it.
No punch-ins.
It'll have a different, you know, when you link verses together, it'll have a different, like cadence, like a different pattern. You know, you can tell when verses, at least within the span of 5 minutes, you'd be able to tell a couple breaks where he went with a different verse. And the guy didn't really do that. He just kind of just flowed for 5 minutes. So that's one thing. And then you asked another question about Jay. You know, he's my executive producer on the record. You know, what's going on with that? People ask me that a lot. He's really, number one, I wanted to respect his retirement. I told him, if you want to drop a verse, if you hear something you want to spit, go ahead. But the guy's, he's as busy as I am. So I'm not even going to, you know, give him any pressure. He's got enough crap to do. And so what we ended up doing, which is far more valuable to me, you know, I to be honest with you, you know, it would be worth it to just have his name on the record, but you know that comes with a cost, with a price, with a time that you have to invest with people, and I'm not in it for that. Like, we've got enough of that kind of clout. Like, I don't need to have Jay's name on my record just to have it. There's a reason that he's executive producing the record, and that is because when I write songs, I'm versatile. I can write any type of song, and what ends up happening is I can tend to, even when I wanted to make this record really consistent, but even while I was doing that, you know, some songs are better than others, some need a little help, and I'm so deep into the songs that I can't always tell what that is. So I wanted a person like Jay to come in and say, okay, these songs right here, these are done, mix and master. These songs are not going to make the record. They're not happening. So just cut your losses and take those out. And these other songs need work. So go back into the lab and make it happen. You know, he didn't go in there and write anything. He didn't go in there and, you know, he doesn't make beats. He just raps. And he does a damn good job at everything else on the business side.
But he's a fresh ear. And yeah, you're producing, rapping, doing the whole nine. And you can't possibly know what you're doing after a while.
Especially if you've got, I probably had upwards of 50 tracks, and then I narrowed them down to 30, and then, you know, the end result, there's 14 tracks, plus or minus little things on the record. We actually have a special edition too with 3 extra tracks. So even to get that, you know, 17, 18 songs, you had to cut down a bunch. So somebody needed to help me figure out which ones are the ones, because you know there's that 20th song that, you know, I'm not sure what to do with. It's like, should it go on the record and move one of these other ones out or no? And Jay helped me with that.
So do you take a page from Ice-T's book when Fort Minor goes on tour and Linkin Park decides they want a tour, and do you go through the double duty as I see an Ice-T with Body Count used to do, but all of a sudden you're wearing black 1 minute and come back, you know, wearing red the next, and you know, all of a sudden it's like, here's Mike Linkin Park, here's Mike, you know, from Fort Minor. I mean, are you going to go schizo doing that, or are you going to keep the two groups kind of separated?
We'll see what has to happen. At this point, we're you know, the record, like I said, it's coming out on the 22nd of November, so the Linkin Park record's not coming out this year. So we, at this point, we don't have to worry about that. We are writing some new stuff with Linkin Park, and that is, you know, dividing my time a little bit. But we'll, you know, we'll see what happens next year. At least at this point, I've been able to keep it pretty. I don't see it as a completely different side of myself. I mean, it's still just me. That's the thing about making a record is, I don't want to put up any kind of front. I'm just me. I just want to put out this record and show people that, you know, this is from first song to last, I'm just being myself.
And who's all the people in Fort Minor? You know, give the whole roster, you know, who we're going to see when you all show up at our town.
Well, when we do the live show, I go out with Styles Beyond. And that is Ryu and Tak on the mic, and then Cheap Shot on the turntables. And then we have a drummer named Beatdown. Beat we found. I think I found him from a friend, Andre. He's Beat lives right next to the airport in Queens. He like practically could walk to the airport, and so he's real handy like that. Like, we need him to get on a plane and come out, he could just walk over to the airport and get on a plane and come. And then after that, you know, we do what we got to do. I don't know yet. It'll be nice to get some of the other artists, because like I said, Common's on the record and Black Thought is on the record. John Legend, Kenna. He's on a song. The singer from Gratitude, whose name is Jonah.
What about Han?
Actually, I was going to get to that. Yeah, yeah. A girl named Holly Brooke is on the record. She's very, very, she's an up-and-coming singer-songwriter. And, of course, Mr. Han is on a song, the last song on the record, which I thought is nice because it kind of ends the record on a more, like, Linkin Park-ish kind of note, because that's probably the next thing you'll hear from us. So it kind of just is a transition thing.
Well, there you have it. Mike Shinoda, he finally just gave it to us raw. He just decided, you know, let me bust out the box, and he made a statement. We appreciate it. Peace.
WBRKD. Breakdown FM. Where we break down news, views, and the hip-hop movement.
Yeah. Like that, y'all. Uh-huh. Like that.
Oh yeah.
Fort Minor, S.O.B.
Show it fine.
Yeah. Like this, listen. Attention please, I only need a second to make a mental impression directly on any record. So give me space to move, room to prove I'm stupid with the B's and Q's. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sending you bending, pretending the pen is a needle, I'm injecting the venom. And I'll be damned if I let another man get to me. I'll bruise you with a shoe to the family jewelry. I'm back with fury, attack quickly. Sick with a big pen, all up in your shit, man. You never knew the flow was sick as this. Bitch, listen when I'm letting you know. Got a grip on these tracks that you wish you got. Got a click full of assholes, I kid you not. So when that mixtape's done and that album drops, why you attack? And me, got it loaded and locked, believe it.
You still breathing, I'm cocking and squeezing. Tuck steel, nope, I don't give a fuck who sees it. Broad day, sitting sideways, stuffed in a small cave for 3 fucking weeks till you reek like dog waste. Really, I put a punk in his place. Let's see if he freestyles with a pump in his face. Got something to say, please, better keep it a secret. The streets got hideous ways of handling beef, bitch. So eat shit, hate it or love it. The underdog's on top, getting faded, telling people to suck it. Bucking them down for real. While you fucking around, I'm stuck in the house for months trying to sharpen my skills. So how does it feel? You lames wanna claim my throne? You got a better chance getting Danny Hayes on the phone. Good luck, I flame suckers till they black and crispy.
sneaking heat up in the club like a flask of whiskey.
Yeah, I'm here to crack the roof in. You got a nice watch, but your raps are useless. You better cut the crap before I snap some nooses and leave you all snoozing on some afternoon shit. Yeah, I hit the streets with a cape and battle for fun, just to spit bleach in his face. It's lunchtime, punk, open the face. Hit you with a punchline, till you choking your teeth. Catch me at the show, rocking in that tipsy mode. Like angels and demons, I'm locking Da Vinci's code. One drop in the canister pit will split the globe. Blowing every planet to shit once I hit the road. You in a tight niche, cut you with apathy. I'm on the night shift, see, I hustle like Cassidy. So kill that chit chat and let the West Coast see. One of the illest named Rip Cat from SOB. Come on.